Hello, everyone, and welcome to the very first episode of the ANA MMA podcast.
Yeah, it's finally here.
I am Andrew, formerly known as, or also known as Slim.
And I am Andrew. You can call me Monty, though.
Yeah, we'll probably go by nicknames because, you know, like shit gets confusing. Yeah. So anyway, the whole, you know, the gist of this is we're both really big, avid MMA fans.
Yeah.
We watch all the fights. Mm-hmm. We bet on all the fights. Yeah. I actually owe this guy some money. So
I just lost, actually.
Yeah, I did. I'm going to win it back on 210. We'll talk about that later. But yeah, so I'm also on the Lousy Weather Media main show. And I've been wanting to do this for a while. I feel like there's not enough mainstream coverage from someone from our generation in UFC. It's really like, you know, a lot of like former fighters like Joe Rogan. There's like people like that, but no one really in our generation. Like, so I feel like we can give a better perspective, not necessarily better, but just a, you know, different perspective.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like we're like some professional.
No, but
like, we're not experts, but we watch it and we enjoy it, so we're going to talk about it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not some ESPN dude like you are. Yeah. You know, MMA is really the only thing I watch sport-wise. Yeah. You know, I'll watch basketball, Cavs every now and then. But, yeah, this dude's
fucking... Yeah, go Cleveland.
Right, exactly.
Go Cavs.
So, yeah, man, what's the first one you want to get into? You got some notes?
Yeah, I mean,
I got a couple notes there.
Man, I think right now we need to talk about the big matchups. We need to get on Bisbing and GSP first off because... There's just a lot going on with that.
Listen, ever since they announced that fight, I mean, the UFC's been doing this thing to where they're pretty much only looking for the money fights. And that
UFC freak show, dude.
Basically. And that upsets me, you know, as a I've been watching UFC since I've been fucking 11 years old. I came out of wrestling and went right into UFC. And ever since they've been doing, you know, all these money fights, they didn't used to do that. You know, if you fought your way up, you got to fucking fight the champ. That's how it was. Bottom line.
Exactly.
There was no... You know, if you were beating dudes up and knocking them out, you were going to fight fucking George St. Pierre, whoever was the champion that, you know, whatever division, it didn't matter. And now...
It's whoever's getting the biggest buck is going to get the fight.
Literally. I mean, McGregor getting the chance for another belt when he never even defended his first belt. That's... I get it.
In that aspect, yeah, I understand it. But, like, with this GSP coming back... I
understand if he got a shot at Tyron Woodley, the 170 champ, right away. Yeah. That would make sense. You know, he was a former champ when he left. You can come back and be the champ again. I get that. But going up to 185 to fight Bisping, I know they did this because they thought that Bisping was an easy fighter. And who's Bisping really fought as the champ? I mean, he beat Luke Rockhold and then he fought Dan Henderson.
Yeah, that was a kiss to Bisping. They were trying to... I think they were trying to get... Hoping that Henderson actually knocked him out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I get it. Like, Henderson had a huge legacy. He did all this pride stuff. Yeah. He's been in the UFC forever, two different divisions. And they really wanted to send him off with a belt.
Yeah.
But if he would have won, he would have still retired. And so then they never fucked up division anyway.
Right. They were just trying to sell and how he knocked him out and all that. They were just trying to sell that. You know what I'm saying? I mean.
Good for Bisping. He got his rematch revenge. Good for him. Even though he almost got knocked out in that fight. Whatever. But who was the other guy he fought as a champ?
Fucking looking it up right now.
Anyway, an easy fight. It was not something that
I mean, it's not like they've been giving him anything that's tested him.
So here comes Yoel Romero, knocking everybody out. He's on a five or six fight win streak, destroying everybody.
Destroying
in that division.
People, dude.
And the UFC comes out and says, we're doing this Bisping fight with GSP. And then everyone's like, well, what about Yoel? What about him? Because when he won against Chris Weidman, he knocked out Chris Weidman. Yeah. He called out Bisping. Bisping was, you know, mocking him on the stage. Like, it was like a pretty cool thing to see. Like, it was like, okay, this is going to be a fight.
Yeah.
Bisping's going to be put to the test.
Exactly. Like, sold it already. Like, they had it sold right there. I was excited for
exactly.
it.
As soon as I had seen that.
And the way that Romero knocked out Weidman, I'm like, okay, yeah.
He's the truth.
Yeah, exactly.
Former champ Weidman, like, that's big.
Yeah, I want to see him beat up Bisping.
Literally.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Literally. So now when people were asking Dana, like, oh, well, what about Yoel? He said, don't worry. We're going to take care of Yoel.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? No one really knows what that means. Like, is he going to pay him money? Is he going to offer him something else?
He's going to do what he's been doing with, like, Khabib. just give him these little feeder fights just to like keep him happy. Like, oh, we're moving you up. We're moving
but
you
does
up.
He need it? He's already fought a former champion,
no,
knocked
no,
him
it's,
out.
It's time for him to get his belt, dude.
I really do think Yoel needs that. I mean, he deserves it. He's earned it.
But like Bisping said, he said, I'm giving him until what, July? And if he's not ready, if GSP's not ready, then Yoel gets the fight. And I respect that.
I completely respect that. That's 100% cool. Respectable. But now, George St. Pierre, after coming back, he has to do, what, 4 months of USADA testing? When is that going to be up? Do you know what date that is? Does that fall into that time frame?
He's been training for a while. He's probably already, honestly.
He might be, yeah. That's fair. But.
And also today, Yoel Romero tweeted that Michael Bisping is going to do whatever the U.S. or, the U.S. UFC controls everything, and GSP is going to do whatever, you know. And he said that GSP doesn't have the heart and or the huevos to fight him.
I mean,
pretty sure that's what, like,
against Yoel said that about.
Yeah, that's like pan about Bisping.
Okay,
pretty sure that's like Pan American for balls.
But I would get that if it happened before Bisping said, "Yes, I will fight you if George doesn't show by this certain time." Mm-hmm. But the fact that Bisping kind of said, "Hey, if George doesn't show by midsummer, I'm fighting for the belt. Like, I need, you know, something."
Respectable.
That's totally respectable for his point. For someone who just got offered a giant money fight, who's saying, like, I don't want to sit out that long because I am the champ.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it really is tying up that division. I mean, you got Jacare coming up. You got Musasi. If Musasi beats Weidman, that's going to be big. Yeah.
They're hard.
Yeah. Jimmy Manoa looked great. Oh, no, that's 205.
Sleeping people, but he's old as hell. I mean, no offense to Jimmy Manoa.
No,
like, if he was around here, I wouldn't say that. But
yeah, he knocked out fucking
Corey Anderson.
Yeah, that was a great fight.
That man's mean.
Walk off.
But I think it's time for us to talk about something that really hurt both you and I personally.
What is that?
Khabib and Tony Ferguson.
The most disappointing news in a text message I've received of 2017 so far.
Yeah, that was
Khabib hospitalized due to weight cut.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, you know, because you had Khabib in our bet, so I was kind of like, you know.
We do a draft style bet. We'll get into that for 210 picks. But basically, I picked Khabib because I knew this dude's gonna get him no matter what. So
yeah,
I was like, I got this one.
But they have to do it, right? They have to fight. Like, they can't not fight.
I feel like at this point it's inevitable. You got the number one and you got the number two.
Exactly.
They have to. There's
like
no.
If they fight anybody else, it's just like.
Now,
how do you sell that to me?
We were at Johnny J's when we seen what Khabib did to Michael Johnson.
Yeah, we were at Johnny J's.
So apparently when Khabib pulled out, Michael Johnson was at the ready. He said, hey, I can weigh in right now.
Mm-hmm.
I might be a little over, but I'll figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm down to fight. And Tony Ferguson said, I already beat you. Khabib already beat you. I don't want that to happen. And he's taking a pay cut, and it wouldn't be for a title shot.
No, yeah, that's totally the smart decision.
But people were giving Tony shit about, like, oh, you could have fought that night. Well, he's not fighting for the belt.
Yeah.
Like, that's what
happens when he loses. Now what? You know what I'm saying?
Back to the drawing board. And now he's got, like, Michael Chiesa.
Chiesa's actually just signed to fight. I didn't see the first dude. His last name was Lee, but Chiesa's about to fight on Fight Night 102.
Okay,
so,
cool.
We'll be on the lookout for that.
But yeah, he's number seven, so I mean, like, that's not a huge step down, I don't think, because I'd like him. I think he's a really good fighter at that division, but...
Yeah, his chest is hairy.
So it's mine, what are you trying to say?
That's why you guys get along.
We're linking up fucking woolly memes stuff. But yeah, that's a fight that I feel like has to happen. There's no way around that.
No,
now,
yeah.
as... This is a big thing where I think a lot of fighters are starting to look into this. Now, should there be, and I think 100% yes, should there be a contractual thing to where if a fighter pulls out, you earn either one, your show money, or two, that fighter takes a loss and you take a win. Because apparently Tony Ferguson was scheduled to make $250,000 for showing up and $250,000 if he won. He apparently only got paid about $100,000 of that. Even though he showed up ready to fight, made weight, was ready to go, was so visibly upset that he was any longer on that card. Mm-hmm. And he only didn't even get paid his full show money. He showed up. Why would he not? So now the big question is, why are more managers of fighters not really looking into their contracts to say, hey, if this guy fucks up, I want this dude to get paid X amount of money, or I want him to get a win.
Ah, man, that's hard because I see both sides of it. I see where, like, to a point, they'd, you know, not want, like, they wouldn't, What, do I sound weird?
No, you're just drifting. I am. Anyway, you see both sides, you said?
Yeah, I mean, I can understand it, because, like, with somebody, if somebody pulls out of the fights a lot, if somebody's known for pulling out of fights, then yeah, I'm going to want a little something in my contract.
I mean, this is what, Habib's second pulling out. Tony pulled out one time due to injury.
Yeah, that fight's been canceled 3 times. I mean, and Habib's done this. I'm pretty sure there's been other fights that
he was out for like 2 years for that leg injury or something like that. So yeah, I really feel like that needs to be.
But at the same time, if you didn't fight, I don't know. I mean, you don't, how do you get the money? You know what I'm saying? Like, how did you? I guess, but they also help sell a lot of those pay-per-views. So,
and that's exactly, and you know, through the, I think that, what was that, 209? I think that was more highlighted by Tony and Khabib than it was for fucking
definitely, bro.
The that championship was the fight. I mean, that was
the main event for sure.
That was the only one I was really looking forward to like that much. I mean, so.
And Woodley and Thompson was a dud anyways. Yeah. So, I mean, that was a poop.
I had a lot of high hopes for that, but. That
sucked.
And then the question is, where do they go?
Those two?
Yeah, where does
Wonderboy has to fight, I don't know, maybe one or two more times, I guess.
I think we need to see who the winner of Damian Maia and Jorge Masvidal is. Because Masvidal is thinking, and he said this on a couple shows, he said he's being bred up to be some killer. Because apparently there's some conspiracy theory about the UFC doesn't think Damian Maia can sell a fight, and that's why he hasn't been offered a title shot. Okay. And so they sent Jorge Masvidal, who knocks people out, in there to, you know, knock him out. And then, hey, oh, it's going to be Jorge and Tyrone. I don't know. I don't know. I haven't seen enough of his fights for him to be like that on my radar. Mm-hmm. I mean, knocking out Cerrone was incredible. That took me through a loop, because Cerrone was on a tear, and he's one of my favorites. But I just don't know. I don't know what the outcome of that fight's going to be. I mean, Damian Maia has taken the least amount of punishment in the UFC.
He's a great grappler.
Yeah, and he's proved it over the years. He used to fight at 185.
And Masvidal's a boxer, and the way I am, I always give the advantage to the person on the ground against a boxer. So
generally, unless
it's like Cody Garbrandt, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, he can handle his shit, but he will also punch you in your face, put you to sleep.
Right?
You know
what I'm saying? Did you see he wants to take on the 125 champ and the 145 champ?
Oh yeah,
props to him. But I mean,
that man's a savage.
Yeah, he is a savage.
922. I worked on his middle school. I repaired the roof on that.
Oh, yeah? Where's that?
That is in Yorksville, Ohio. It's Claymont Middle School.
Oh, shit. That's out there.
It's little, and it's... Dude, Yorksville is dinky, and it looks like they fight for a living out there.
That's funny. Okay, so, you know, let's say Damian Maia wins. Okay, I'm going to pull up the welterweight rankings right now. If Damian Maia isn't offered a title shot, I really don't think there's anyone else. I mean, maybe Stephen Thompson, but I don't want to see Stephen Thompson versus Tyron Woodley again.
No, dude.
What if it's in another draw? I honestly wanted the second fight to earn in a draw, because Dana White would like grow some hair and pull it out in the same, like, simultaneously. Like, that would be fucking nuts. He would lose his mind.
All in one motion.
like SpongeBob when he grew the fingernails and bit them off and just kept doing it. Yeah, dude.
That's funny.
For real.
Hell, dude.
So you got Gunnar Nelson, who just won in London. You got Dong Young Kim is number 7.
Yo, that's
not the zombie. No, that's Stun Gun.
He's a beast, though.
That kind of surprised me. Neil Magny, he's looked not bad. Now Carlos Conde, he's number 4 right now in the rankings.
I feel like he's on the way out. You know,
but he already said that Robbie Lawler fight was his last fight.
Oh.
So I mean, I don't. Yeah, why is he still on there if he's already admitted? Who knows? I mean, I feel like the welterweight division is one of the most tied up divisions right now. And really, we have to see what happens with this fight coming up between Jorge and Damian Maia to shed any light on where the next title shot is going to come from. Right. So, yeah, I don't know what's going to happen with that one. What fight is that on?
The
Maia Masvidal.
I'm pretty sure that's 211.
Is it 211?
It's either 211 or 212.
Okay. What else you got on your notepad over there? What else has been happening in the...
Yo, this man, Daniel Cormier.
Okay.
This dude's wild. DC. DC. I need to get my source up before I read this, because I don't know if I can get in trouble for that. Can I just, like, read some shit and, like, not name the source?
Paraphrase, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
I mean, this is, podcast number 1.
Yeah,
I don't think
anybody's fucking listening to us anyways.
Shout out to the live stream.
Yeah,
if
you're listening.
Hey, shout out to
I think my girlfriend's listening, so shout out to you, Taylor. Biggest shout out goes to Sean Ass, though, for letting us use his shit. That's tight.
Appreciate it, Sean. Lousy Weather Media and all that.
Yeah. Shouts out to them. Chad Donahue, probably listening. Nate Gear, shout out to you guys. Yeah. You guys will probably be on the show one day, so keep listening.
We'll see. If we stick, we might like pause it. We might do three and then just...
Oh, yeah, we might. After our third episode, we might also quit.
Hiatus, yeah. Who knows? The future's in the air.
According to Paul. Yeah, Taylor is listening. She texted me and said she loves me.
So what did DC say? Did you were able to pull
it
up?
Oh, yeah, my bad. Got totally sidetracked with my
shout-outs. You don't got to fucking sort this or cite the source. Fuck it.
This man said that Anderson Silva, considerably one of the greatest fighters of all time.
Pound for pound.
Yeah, GOAT material, was the easiest fight of his entire career.
Okay, but when did that happen? What date was that fight?
See, that's Google the thing. That. Like, we're not...
Google it, Joseph.
I know one dude, Sammy D, Nate Gear's friend, dude would be like, UFC 176, like, off top of his head. Like, I'm not to that level.
We watch him every fucking week. There's so many fight nights now in between these big cards that I lose track. Shit
that my mind just gets really jumbled and smoke too much weed.
Pretty much.
Yeah. It's probably mostly the weed. He beat him at UFC 200. That was like...
That was a 200? That wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, see, smoking way too much weed.
That was the one where Brock Lesnar fought Mark Hunt.
That was a fucked up fight, dude.
Yeah. Now, what was the out? Was it a decision, or how did he beat him? I really don't remember this.
That was a unanimous decision that took place in Las Vegas, and that was a non-title belt fight, so I think that might have been like when John Jones pulled out, possibly.
Oh.
Remember that?
DC was
all sad and crying.
When he had his little cocaine stint.
That might have been when he hit the pregnant lady and broke her arm.
That was years prior.
That man's wild.
No, man.
That's the GOAT.
Dude.
If you want to really... That's for Nate Gears.
But that's just so... It's just so upsetting that he's gone through all this shit in his personal life over the last 4 years.
And he's just the best.
You can't say he hasn't brought it on himself, though.
I mean, yeah.
But I mean...
Everybody has.
He is one of my favorite fighters growing up. Like, I would watch... When the UFC did their little three cards on... what was that? Fuck, what station was that? Some station that you only had on Time Warner Cable or some shit. Was it Fuel?
Oh, Fuel TV?
Yeah, dude, he popped Brandon Vera and Matt Yushchenko, and he just wrecked them. Just made them look like twerps.
Dude, that's because he's the GOAT. I mean, his only loss ever is on...
This is my biggest thing. I will dispute this any day. I've watched that fight happen.
Okay.
It was Matt Hamill. He's a deaf fighter, okay? Literally, like, the ref says, you ready? And if he's not looking at him, he's not going to be ready. He's literally deaf. And he was on the Ultimate Fighter. He had a... I wouldn't say successful, but he had a good stint in the UFC. You know, he's a really dominant wrestler. He was amazing.
Yeah.
I think he went to the Olympics, in fact. Anyway, he's fighting John Jones, right? John takes him down, makes him look like nothing, because that's what John does. So he gets on top of him and apparently, allegedly, landed an illegal elbow, which cut him open. Now, he did, it was like a top 12, down.
12-6,
yeah. And it cut him open. Matt's laying there on his back. He's got some blood in his eyes, so his eyes are closed. So the ref pulls John off and comes over and says, are you good? Can you still fight?
That man can't hear him.
He can't hear him. And he's just, like, wiping his eyes, trying to fucking see. And they call the fight a disqualification. He took it as a loss. That's what happened. And I'm just like, what? He can't hear. Like, he thought you were stopping the fight because he was getting his ass beat. Yeah. It wasn't... I will dispute that loss any day because I watched it happen.
It's like you can't even, I don't call that a loss, you know what I'm saying?
No, so he's,
it's whatever.
In my book, undefeated in general, like just in the UFC and everything. Like,
this conversation is for another day, but who is your GOAT?
I mean, I don't know,
don't
man.
Don't shit the bed, Slim.
I gotta say John. I gotta say John Jones. Even with all his shit, he's only, what, 28? He'll come back. He's said slated to come back this summer, I believe, late summer. And I mean, if he can, I don't know if he's, Dana White said he's going to get an immediate title shot. I don't know if I agree with that.
Yes. I mean, at this point, I don't know.
I just,
give me your belt.
Give me a belt. Dick punch.
Dick punch for sure.
Yeah. I don't know if he deserves that right away after, you know, his fucking, whatever. And I mean, he's one of the greatest fighters of all time. You can't deny him of that. And I still want to see him fight Anderson. I know it's not going to happen now. Anderson's towards the end of his career. But speaking of Anderson, okay. So Kevin Gastelum has been on a tear. All right. He's fighting at 170. He won the Ultimate Fighter at 185.
Yes.
Said, hey, I'm moving down to 170. I think I can make the weight. He does pretty well. I mean, he beat Johnny Hendricks, a couple other guys. And then...
He beat, what's his name? Mr. Sniper guy. Green Beret, ISIS killer, Tim Kennedy.
That's where I'm going. So he did all this at 170, and then I think he missed weight on the Johnny Hendricks fight, might have been, or maybe it was the one after. Mm-hmm. So they said, all right, the 2 weekends after, they said, hey, let's throw you up to middleweight, because we had a pullout. Oh, Rashad Evans, they had a brain scan, and this was at 205, I think, maybe. I mean, it was the one after. Yeah. It was 2 weekends after that. They said, Rashad, you got something in your brain we didn't like to see. You might have, like, internal damage from getting punched in the head.
Yeah.
So Tim Kennedy was like, I'm not fucking fighting you. You better get this shit figured out. Like, we're not rescheduling this fight. So they said, well, what about this kid? We got Kelvin. You know, he's trying to fight.
Up and coming.
They took the fight, worked Tim Kennedy.
Destroyed
made him
that
just
ass.
Made him look ridiculous. But, I mean, Tim Kennedy's an older fighter, and he actually retired that night. Okay.
Yeah.
So here comes, what is this, 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, UFC goes down to Brazil.
Fortaleza, Brazil.
Right. So
that just sounds like dangerous.
It does. It sounds like someone's getting robbed.
It either sounds like they like race cars there, or like they're killing people there. Fortaleza,
beheadings and
Brazil.
Shit. I don't know. Brazil's a beautiful place, but some spots are not.
You've never been there.
Just like no, but I've seen. You know,
I saw pictures.
Crisco. You know, Thyna. You remember Thyna, the Brazilian exchange student from junior year? Yeah. Fuck yeah. Anyway. So they go down there, and here's my problem with all Brazilian, like, okay, so UFC can bring over Englishmen, they can bring over Brazilians, Canadians, whatever, it doesn't matter. American fans are looking for a great fight, but when they go to Brazil, I feel like they have to have Brazilian fighters, and I get it, like, the UFC just did their London thing, they had a bunch of London fighters, because it's like the hometown thing, but I don't know if the UFC has a market for non-Brazilian fighters in Brazil, because I watched the whole card, now watching... Kevin Gastelum knocks out Vitor in the first round.
Right.
The crowd was going nuts when Vitor's landing. It was like, oh shit!
Yeah, of course.
Vitor gets knocked out. Crowd's dead silent. Kelvin's trying to cheer. He puts his arms up and he's just like, oh shit! Remember where you are.
But you gotta understand, like that crowd, like Vitor's like there.
Okay, that's someone.
I mean, that's kind of like a hard. I understand what you're saying. I definitely understand. Like, it's not like we could go down there with a full.
Squad and fucking
like a full cast of Americans and wherever the
I'm gonna say
else.
You wouldn't do well, but it wouldn't do as well.
Definitely not. You got to have the Brazilians on there to really, really sell that. You know what I'm saying?
Because
they're very passionate down there.
Oh, absolutely. But, they really respect Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
They love soccer and they love choking people out. You know what I'm saying? Like straight up, that's what
Brazilians
breaking
arms
do for athleticism.
That's how it goes.
They'll score goals on you and break your neck.
Right. Pass. So, yeah, so their hero gets knocked out fucking by this young kid coming up. So now, I didn't see the post-fight interview with Joe Rogan, but apparently Kelvin calls out Anderson and says, I want to fight Anderson next.
Oh,
so
man.
Now he's getting called the legend killer because he retired Kim Kennedy. Vitor is now talking about some legends division the UFC should open.
What?
You didn't hear about this? So,
that would be dope as fuck.
It would be, but it doesn't make sense. He wants to open a legends division for the older fighters, you know, like the Matt Hughes and like the Tito Ortiz type deal to come back. It would be shorter rounds and it would be a separate division. It would just be literally, but there's not enough fighters that are willing. You know what I mean? It
they
would
got
just
like
be
mad masseuses over there, like massage
right.
Room, yeah. Like,
but it wouldn't fight any young guys. It would just be legends against legends, which makes sense, but at the same time it's like I don't think there's any room for that in this growing sport. You know, you got new talent come up every day. Who would have thought Cody Garbrandt would be destroying Dominic Cruz 5 years ago? Nobody. Dominic Cruz has been the man for like 8 years.
Hey, shout out to Cody Garbrandt also.
Yeah, Ohio boy.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know.
We're
that's
gonna get him on the show next week. So
yeah, so stay tuned. That's gonna be a good one. Mr. Neck Tat himself.
Yes. Neck Tat Garbrandt.
Yes. Nice. Okay. Kelvin's the legend killer. If he beats Anderson, he really puts himself up there for contention at 185. Now, what do you think about Johnny Hendricks at 185?
I mean, his last performance, I watched him. He fought against, let me see here.
It was a Hector Lombard who previously fought in Bellator at 170.
Yeah, but the thing about that fight, I actually... Because Johnny Hendricks, he lost his 3 fights before that. He lost to Neil Magny, and then Gastelum, and Wonderboy. So his last win, he hasn't won since 2015 before Hector Lombard, and that fight wasn't even like a great fight. I mean,
yeah, and I'm a big Johnny Hendricks guy. Like he's been the dog to me.
I don't know. Let's see what he can do. Let's see his. That was his middleweight debut. He's 1-0, so whatever. Let's see what he can do.
I just think he looked really small for that division. He's shorter. He's only like 5'9", 5'10".
Yeah, he's a smaller dude.
He's smaller. He's got the power though, and he even said like he felt like this was like his first time fighting again, which I completely agree with. You know, if you're not cutting all this weight, because he's literally said he's walked onto that stage fucking dying.
Yeah,
dead.
This man Johnny Hendricks. Listen to this stat. Since UFC 158, which was in 2013, he only finished one fight, and it was a knockout, or it was when he got knocked out by Wonder Boy. He didn't even finish that fight. All his other fights were decisions.
Are you serious?
Every single fight was a decision.
Damn. He was on a tear when he first came in. He bought GSP. I mean, he worked his way up to a title shot. He knocked out fucking Josh Koscheck. That was towards Josh's end of his career, but, you know.
He tapped out Josh Salmon, that dude died, RIP.
Oh, shit, I forgot about that.
Yeah, that's sad.
So, yeah, I think he'll be okay, but just a small dude. You know, like, Joe Rogan was a
little, like, T-Rex. Almost.
Right, basically. Like, what happens when he fights, like, a Luke Rockhold, who's 6'3"?
No.
He's going to kick him in the face, and that's going to be it. Like, that's, you know, but that's the thing. If he works his way up and fights these guys, you're going to have to fight a long, lanky, big dude.
I mean, you're in the division, my guy. If you keep winning.
My guy. You got to step up.
Yeah, exactly. You can't. I'm just here to bottom feed.
Right.
He's like the little sucker fish at the bottom. Like, somebody get him out of here.
Hey, I mean, whatever. He's making some money. Again, good for him. He's making some wins. Yeah. Fuck. What do you think about this Bellator card that's happening right now?
Yeah, I was actually about to look that up.
Now here's what I can't understand. Okay, King Mo and Rampage fought, what was that, 4 years ago, something like that.
Yeah.
King Mo, I think, edged out the decision.
Yeah, and Rampage was super salty.
So mad he couldn't knock him out, so upset. Super salty. Here comes Rampage, last fight in his Bellator contract, gets his revenge on King Mo. Because King Mo's running his mouth, as always. Here's what I didn't know, because I was like, oh, okay, this is going to be a good, you know, light heavyweight fight. So I seen a tweet that said the weigh-ins, and I was like, okay, I've never actually watched Bellator weigh-ins. I didn't know that they streamed them like they do, so I was watching, you know, it's pretty good setup. I mean, just like the UFC does, you know, they call a guy up, they do face-off, whatever. So King Mo comes to the stage, okay? And he weighs in at 212, UFC, or light heavyweight, max is 205. You can be 206, but if you're 207, you either have to cut that extra pound within an hour, or you have to give up, what is it, like 25% of your purse?
Yeah, nice little chunk.
Yeah, so he was in a 212, and I'm like, oh, shit. Like, did he do that on purpose? Like, whoa, that's fucking no way. Like, this dude, I've never seen him this way. Like, that's nuts. So then Rampage goes up to the scale.
What do you weigh, Slim? Tell me what he weighed.
253.
Golly.
You gotta be fucking kidding me. Yo. Rampage could have been fighting at heavyweight his whole time. He could have been fighting Mark Hunt.
Hey, no, that was... He's been chilling, dude. There's no way that man is just...
No, there's no way he was cutting 50 pounds to get to light heavyweight.
He was chilling. They're like, hey, you want to fight King Mo? He's like, fuck it.
But here, that's what I don't understand is what would convince King Mo to give up 40 pounds? Obviously, money.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, like consciously, like, could you really do that in a fight? Like, that seems crazy.
I mean, he
already
beat him, so he probably just has that little... He probably just thinks, fuck it, I can beat this
Yeah, I mean,
up.
He's the Bellator guy, and you got, you know, but if he does beat Rampage tonight, that's going to be big. That's going to be everybody's headline.
Yeah, this Bellator fight card looks whack.
Isn't there a championship on it?
Rampage and King Mo aren't even, like, the main. They're, like, the fifth fight down, bro.
Really? Who's the main? Are you sure you're not reading it backwards?
Nope, I'm... Dude, it literally says that this dude that is 1-1 is fighting a dude that is 0-0. You can look at my
for the fucking right main now. Event.
Yeah, swear to God, dude.
Well, that seems wrong.
That definitely seems extremely wrong. There's no way. But yeah, it says that they're the 11th fight of the night, and there's 16 fights. What? Oh, you're just trying to get a sound check?
I'm just looking at my shit. So that's gonna be. I mean, I'm pretty. I'm gonna watch that for sure. It comes on pretty soon, I think. Well, probably 11.
When's the last time you just like saw like a real like, street fight?
A real street fight.
Like, fuck. When's the last time you saw a
street like fight? Like actually have it in front of me?
Yeah.
I was off of I think it was Buchtel Street at Dan Schropp's house. He was having a party, and some dude just brought out two pairs of boxing gloves. And we were all kicking outside in this gravel driveway, just sitting around these cars. Me and it was with Justin. Mm-hmm. We were sitting on this truck bed, just drinking, you know, just chilling, talking. And all of a sudden, circle happens. Dudes put on these gloves and start scrapping. I wish I still had the videos. I never saved them. They were all over my Snapchat, though. These dudes were working. They were just knocking each other down. They were drunk. They were sliding on the gravel. So then this one dude eventually, like, gives up. And everyone's like, oh, shit, yeah. So then out comes this dude. From the fucking driveway, just rips off his shirt. Apparently, Dan's neighbor is a boxer, and he heard about this shit and just came over, put on these gloves, and just started. Dude, I've never seen destroying a dude just people. weep, like, bro. He was fucking dodging this dude's every punch. I mean, he was a skinnier dude, so he couldn't like really hit this. The dude was going at him was huge as fuck. I mean, he was swinging for the fence, but
he was giving it to him,
bro. As for like bare knuckle, like real live fucking street fight, I don't know. It's been Akron's kind of lame with that. It usually gets broken up pretty quick.
Yo, the best street fight I ever saw in my life. Shout out to both of my homies, Forrest and Jake.
Best. Yeah, I remember that. I remember seeing it on video. That like, was awesome. The next day.
That was like one of the best technically sound like fights I've seen in a while.
You think?
Dude. Yeah,
I thought Forrest like, really like.
Forrest
first
was
of all,
landing like elbows, first, and Jake was literally trying to like give him a triangle.
Right.
Choke,
first of all, I've wrestled Jake before. Jake's no fucking pushover. Like we used to wrestle Jake all the time, coming up just try to do submissions on each other. The fact that Forrest took him down, that really shows how fucking strong Forrest is.
The thing is, I was telling Forrest the whole time, like, dude, don't go to the ground with Jake. He's gonna beat the shit out of you.
And he did.
Like, yeah, all right.
And he said, "Fuck that. Watch me." That's nuts.
But yeah, Jake admitted he lost. Shout out to Jake for being a man. And next fight I saw Jake in, straight brawl at St. Paddy's Day, landed like five knees on this dude's face, bro. Like
really?
Yeah. Chad punched dude. Dude punched Jake. And like when I saw Jake get knocked out, I'm like, oh, I thought Jake got knocked out. I'm like, oh, dude. So I start running over there. By the time I got over there, bro, Jake was literally just holding this dude.
Oh, wait, you're talking about at Taylor's?
Yeah.
Yeah, bro. I was right behind Jake. Literally, he lost his hat. I was literally right behind him. We start shit going
pop
off. This is the hardest I have ever seen someone get hit. I forgot about this night. I totally forgot. So Chad's talking shit to dude because dude was talking shit or some dude was trying to talk to Chad's girl at the time.
Yeah, wild story.
Dude was trying to talk to Chad's girl. Chad wasn't having it. So he comes up to the dude. He's obviously a lot smaller than Chad. So Chad's talking to the dude, and his friend steps in like, yo, you got a problem with my man? You got a problem with me? Punched. So Chad just like, what?
Punched off rip.
I've never seen someone wind back and have that much time for a punch and then hit that hard. Broke dude's orbital bone.
Hey, the funny thing is I saw that dude. He actually served food with my cousin one time, and his eye, I'm pretty sure it's like fake or something now.
Fetty Wap?
He might have like a fake cornea or something. Oh, he had to get like cornea surgery or something.
Dude, yeah, he broke his orbital bone with one punch. And he was so drunk he fell into him. Like he fell on him, all his homies got around him. I'm standing there by the stairs. Jake is in front of me. And some dude just comes out the crowd and just whap, smacks Jake so hard his hat flies off, and we never found it. Like some dude went and just picked it up.
Straight Bobby Shmurda's hat. Yeah. Bobby Shmurda's hat and Jake's hat are like chilling on like a cruise somewhere in like Jamaica, like on a date.
Just on a fucking chandelier, never came back down. No one ever bothered to look up. That's what happened. Oh shit. That shit's funny.
Holy shit, we've been going for a minute, dude.
About 33. What else I got? What else you got in your notes over there? Anything else?
Chris Weidman looked extremely fucking jacked in a picture today. Like,
yeah, that's what you were telling me. That's
looking like Superman, bro.
I mean,
massive.
What's his name? Usasi. He didn't impress me that much against Vitor. He still beat Vitor, but I feel like Vitor's on the end of his reign, you know?
Musasi's last win was versus who? Uriah Hall, because Uriah Hall was the last person to beat him.
Really?
I got Musasi. You know what? We need to do our UFC.
Yeah, that's right. It is about 210 time. Let's pull the card here.
Just sparked up a little joint, so it's about time.
It's about that time.
I had everything.
Side note, if you guys, anyone's listening, if you want to watch these fights with us, we go to Legends Sports Bar out in Green because we used to go to Johnny J's in Springfield. because they showed like a few of the good ones, yeah, and everyone was like, oh yeah, Conor McGregor, so hype.
Yeah, that's the only fucking fight we're gonna show. Conor McGregor, nothing.
Yeah, so then we went to, no, they showed a couple before that, and that's what got us starting going there. So then we went to go to 209, or was it 208?
That was the first one we went to was Anderson versus Brunson. Silva versus Brunson, and then
no, not I'm not talking about Legends. I'm talking about Johnny Jay's, to where we were forced to go to Legends.
Yeah, that one was
207 or 208.
I'm sure
wasn't
that
it?
Was when Holly Holm and
that was
Deirandamay.
So yeah, they weren't showing the fights. We were like, what the fuck? We literally asked the manager, like, what if we bought? Like, what if we fucking threw down money? All our friends are here because it was someone else's birthday. So they were like, no, we're not doing that. So
you want to hit this joint?
Nah, I'm cool right now. So we had to go to this bar all the way out in Green, but it ended up being like an MMA friendly bar.
And like they show every single one. So
no matter what.
Go,
and it was,
go to Legends, man.
Yeah, go to Legends. If you want to watch fights with us, we'll be there. When is this? April 8th.
Definitely.
For sure.
Definitely. So let's do it.
Let's see the shit.
Ooh, Taylor said that it stopped for some reason on her phone. Hopefully it's just her phone.
Yeah, probably. Let me see about this. All right, so I clicked out like Sean told me not to, and here we are again. All right, so UFC 210 picks. let me pull up my shit. All right, so you won last time, obviously, so you get to go first.
Yeah, first pick.
Write this down. You got a pen?
Yeah, I got all this. All right, cool. I got it. I need to give a shout out to whoever won me that last fight. I'm pretty sure it was.
You won all my fucking fights last time. I picked horribly. I don't know what happened. What guard did I beat your ass? Was that 208?
Dude, you beat me by like a couple points in that one. You didn't like.
No, what it was, you bet on all the undercards, and I bet on the main cards, and we were doing it differently.
But yeah, now we got like.
So here's our draft system. We do a weird way, but I like it. It's some way I've never heard
confidence.
Before.
Confidence. If you've ever bet before, it's confidence points. So
yeah. So what we do is we send each other the whole fight roster. Mm-hmm. We'll go through whoever won the last one gets to pick their first fight. So let's say Andrew picks Daniel Cormier. I now by default have Anthony Johnson under my roster.
Whoever we pick, the other person gets the opposite.
Right.
So
it's fair. So someone always has someone. It's never
and
like.
And then after that, we rank them. So. If I think Daniel Cormier is definitely going to be the one who wins, I'm going to give him
the
spot. I'm going to make him worth the most points. So, yeah. And whoever has most points at the end of the night gets a nice little chunk of
change. It's what? It points to 55 or something? That's what it ends up to. 55 being the most. Who best at 55?
That was with like 12 fights. I think there might be more. There's 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 fights. So it's going to be uneven. One of us is going to get to pick.
That's fair.
I think I get to pick 7. You get to pick 6.
All right, so we'll just leave one out. Probably the very last one. Janielle.
We won't
Lawson?
Pick the prelim girl fight.
Okay.
Chukagian versus Aidana.
Which one is that? There's another one?
Yeah, what are you looking at?
The very bottom one.
Yeah, the UFC early prelims. There's that Gillespie versus Holbrook, Emmett versus Green, Chukagian versus... Aldana.
Are you on the right card?
Yeah, dude. Yeah, that's what I'm looking at.
Oh, okay. You said the name wrong. All right, cool. So, first pick, you. Go ahead.
With the first pick in the 2000...
Drum roll, please.
In the 210 draft, I'm going to go ahead and pick... this is wild of me. I'm going to pick Musasi.
Oh, okay. All right, so I got Wyman. Cool. I'm going to go with Thiago Alves. So you get Patrick Cote.
He's also a great soccer player.
Cote or Alves?
Alves.
Cool. this is an old. This is a Legends fight right there. They've been fighting forever.
I'm gonna go ahead and pick Magomed Bibulatov. Yeah, you heard that right. Magomed Bibulatov.
Where is this one?
That's
probably it's the very last one.
Yeah, like the very first fight of the night.
Dope.
Yeah.
All right, so I got...
I did my research.
Okay. I got Miles Jury.
Oh, nice pick.
Versus Mike De La Torre.
That sounds like my friend Cristobal.
Torre.
Wait, so who did you just pick?
Miles Jury.
The jury and the judge. I ate a weed brownie.
So here we go.
Let's go.
Now the real show starts.
Oh, man. Charles Oliveira.
All right, that's a risky one. He's not... He's been doing so.
Actually, you know what? Time out. Time out.
No, fuck that.
I want Will Brooks.
Fuck that. Get out of here. You big Charles.
I want Will Brooks.
If I wouldn't have said anything, dude.
No, because I just looked at the odds. I'm looking at the odds right here.
Fuck off. I don't have odds on mine. That's bullshit.
Yeah, because I had nowhere to find odds.
Fuck. I'm on my phone. You gotta... Fuck off. This... No.
I'm looking at line movements and everything, bro.
You're a bitch. Okay.
I get Will Brooks. Go on.
All right. I got... I got Josh Emmett.
I'm pretty sure that man's unbeaten.
He sure is.
I got, what's this man's name? Gregor Gillespie.
Okay.
That's a dope-ass name.
Wait, come on, other Andrew. He's, his opponent, Andrew Holberg. Please come through. Maybe we'll have you on the show. The AANAMMA podcast.
Can we, like, temporarily change, like, our name sometimes?
Let's get a different picture every time. Like, Jay comes with A and J.
Like. It's like a fresh podcast every time. Like.
That'd be funny. I got Shane Burgos versus Charles Rosa.
That dude is also unbeaten. Slim out here with the unbeaten gang.
Gang, gang, gang.
How many more we got? We're doing the same thing as last time. You don't want to pick that championship fight? You're not feeling it?
Daniel Cormier is getting older, and Rumble's still looking good. I just don't know where to go with
Give
it.
Give me my girl who fought in UFC 209, okay? This chick fought in the last UFC, like, numbered event, 209. She's going right back at 210. That is gangster.
That's ballsy.
That is gangster. That's endurance. I'm going to pick her, Cynthia Calvillo.
Okay, all right, very good. Against Pearl Gonzalez.
Yeah, that chick hasn't fought in the UFC.
I respect that. The only thing is like, I feel like they were right to make Cerrone take a break because he fought, four times in,
that man was wild.
8 months or something. That's ridiculous.
He was fighting whoever, whenever.
But he was winning at 170. Yeah. Came to a new division and was just wrecking dudes.
And then he got slapped.
He'll be back, though. I really feel like he just needed a break. I mean, he fought way too much too soon. Definitely. That was the biggest thing.
Definitely.
You know what? I'm going to do it. I got Johnson. Rumble.
Damn. That's who I liked on that.
Yeah, I got Rumble.
Give me... what's this?
How many we got left?
I'm pretty sure this might be the last one. Oh, there's two more. I'm going to take this... Kamaru Usman.
Who?
Kamaru.
Oh, I see him.
The Nigerian Nightmare. Usman.
Sean Strickland. He's been in there a while, I think.
He's ugly. I don't like him.
We base our fights on looks, ladies and gentlemen. Mostly. I got Patrick Cummings.
So you're going to leave me with Jan Blachowicz? Jan Blach?
Jan Blachowicz.
Blach. Jan Blach.
So what we're going to do, I think that was it, right? That was it, after leaving out the 4-4,
yeah,
right?
I missed like 3 of your picks, but yeah.
What do you mean you missed?
I'll figure them out.
God damn it. Anyway, fucking weed brownie. So
pick Josh Emmett. Keep going.
So what we're going to do is we're going to keep a running total of mm-hmm. who wins what. Mm-hmm. So every episode we can talk shit to each other and, you know, we'll see like... At the end of, I don't know, fucking...
Let's make it right now. By the time we hit episode, if we do it every Sunday, let's say...
It's already, what, week 12 in this year? 13?
I'm thinking episode-wise. By episode okay. 5.
All right.
Whoever's got the best.
Well, there's not that many. Are we betting on fight nights too, then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
All right, cool.
Every
okay.
UFC, we're UFC experts, Slim. Duh.
Duh. Okay.
We have our own podcast, bro.
Yes. Yes. Anyway. So yeah, we're going to keep a running total. Whoever's the better, you can side with us.
Gets a lunch to Yellowtail and... $50.
Provided by Monty.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right, so that's our picks for 210.
Yeah, and all written down.
That is April 8th.
Hopefully they don't fucking drop like flies like the last
who
event.
Who fucking knows? At this point, I don't know. That's another thing. They're starting to start up a fighters union. for injured fighters. You know, they'll have insurance, which I feel like they should anyway. I mean, they're fucking filthy rich, most of them. They got, you know, they're winning $250,000 on a fight. But now they're starting to start up a union to where they really have, like, rights. And, I mean, it's a slow process. There's big fighters signing on to it, but it's going to be something that's going to take, I feel like, several years to really...
Are you talking about the one with, like, GSP?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was the biggest one to...
Yeah, that's also ran with, what's his name, from Bellator, who's, like, they say he's, like, the biggest scam artist in MMA, man.
Does he fight at?
He's not a fighter. He's, like, the promoter for Bellator.
Oh, I don't remember his fucking name.
He's, like, a fucking crook, I heard.
Really?
Yeah.
I never heard that.
I'm trying to...
Bellator is not bad. I feel like for a sister competitor, Bellator is not bad. Are they going to sell pay-per-views?
Whoa, yeah, that's a
no. Topic. Am I going to buy pay-per-views from Bellator? Probably not.
No.
But I feel like Bellator really has a market for picking up these, I don't want to say washed out, but UFC fighters that didn't perform as well as they'd like to in the UFC.
Yeah, I mean,
Phil Davis is the 205 champ right now.
Yeah.
That's a big,
they're getting top prospects, dude.
And I feel like they have a really big market on that. That's their key to success is growing. All picking
they need
them
to
up.
Do, if Bellator wants to eventually pass UFC, they need to treat their fighters right, because the thing I noticed with UFC is it's just a lot of bullshit.
Well, I've also heard that I was watching a Rampage interview, and mm-hmm. they were saying, like, well, what do you think about Bellator compared to UFC? And he goes, you know, I like it. I like the way they treat me. I like the way, you know, they act about me. But the problem being, they will set an event before they book the venue.
Yeah,
so
that's
literally,
crazy,
and from a fighter's point of view, Rampage said, hey, I got to fly my family out there. I got to get this hotel. I got to figure out training. When am I going to leave to train over there? Wherever it might be throughout the country, you know, that's something that he's stressing about that he just doesn't know. I mean, he could be a month before a fight and still, oh, surprise, it's in Vegas. Like, when he's in New York, like, that's, you know, that's time wasted when he could have known. So I feel like that's one of their only things they don't have going for them, per se. But I really haven't heard much else negatively about Bellator.
No, I mean, yeah.
I don't know how much money the fighters make. I've never looked into it that hard.
Definitely not as much as anywhere, as much as UFC.
They just signed Ryan Bader.
Ah.
That'll be a good one.
And Michael McDonald, I'm pretty sure. And Lawrence Larkin.
Okay.
Yeah, they're
like I said, great market for picking up fighters that didn't do so hot in UFC.
If you're a scrub, Bellator wants you, bro.
But that can't be. That can't be their only market.
Right.
That's the thing. Like, they have to build their own stars, which I feel like they have. They got Michael Chandler.
Oh, yeah.
Who's a dog.
Eddie Alvarez, like, fought in Bellator for a little while.
Right.
You know,
made the jump to UFC.
Yeah.
They have King Mo. I mean, who's the 170 champ? Fucking wrestler. Ben Askren.
Yo, I heard that dude is off the chain.
Well, all he does
is
fucking
Ben
lay on
Askren,
me.
Isn't he World Series?
No, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, he's won Bellator 170.
Yo, I heard
he's I don't know what his wrestling pedigree is, but I mean, he's an amazing wrestler.
I heard he's like one of the most boring fighters, but like nobody wants to fight him because you'll lose.
Yeah, he's fucking just dogs you. He just dogs the shit out of you. Like, literally, it's I don't know. It's his fights are boring to watch, but he's the champ. Like, I mean, he does his thing. He knows his game plan, and he goes in and executes it every time. There's no denying him of that. Now, when he goes over to the UFC, is he going to get those big fights to sell? Like we were talking about, like Damian Maia, he's going to not do a punch. He's going to try to take it to the ground. Like, is he going to get those kind of fights?
So how do you feel like, let's say there is a dude, not necessarily Ben Askren, let's just make up a little pretend man.
Okay.
He's fighting in Bellator and all these other little poop promotions, and he's coming up. He's 20-0.
Okay.
He finally goes to the UFC, but he's a boring fighter.
Right.
All he does is just lay on you. Are you going to watch? Are you still going to watch him?
In the UFC now. Now, is he tearing through the UFC, or is he, like, you know, just doing so-so?
He's slowly laying through the UFC, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to watch. I mean, I completely respect the ground game. I feel like not enough people do. I was talking to Drew Schottheimer. We had an MMA fighter on last Tuesday.
Yeah.
And we were talking about how people on their backs, when they get taken down, even if they stand right back up, they still count that against the fighter that stood right back up because he got taken down. Well, yeah, he got taken down. He got swept off his feet because the dude picked up his legs, but he got right back up.
Right.
Like, that should count for something. It should cancel each other out. Also, if a dude is on their back and they're attacking with submission after submission, they're going from this to this to that, and they're trying to switch guards, they're trying to control the hands, should they be losing just because they're on their back? Yeah, I mean, that's a big judging downfall.
What were we talking about last time, too? Cage control. Like, do you think, in that case of Wonder Boy versus Woodley?
Yeah.
Wonder Boy was in the middle of the cage for most of the time. So,
right.
Even though they weren't really exchanging, do you simply give it to Wonder Boy because he was in the middle of the cage? Like, is that really a thing?
I think in the day it weighed more than it does now. I feel like, you know, Tyrone had his game plan of, Steven was in the middle and pushing him to the cage, but he wasn't really getting caught on the cage. He was kind of moving around. He was free to move. Right. It's not like he was backing him into a corner. He was free to move. Like, dude had the center of the octagon itself, but I feel like that doesn't weigh as much anymore as it used to. Yeah. Back in the day, even if they stood and danced for 5 minutes or 15 minutes, the dude in the middle was winning because he had octagon control, is what they called it.
Right.
But now I feel like that's not necessarily, like, if dude wants to run around in a circle and just sidestep the whole time, that's his game plan. He's not,
as long as he's not
as long as he's not taking damage. If he's doing something, that second fight, I feel like should have been a draw, to be honest.
The only reason I gave it to Woodley, that's because he had Wonder Boy. Well, the only reason I gave it to Woodley is because he had that knockdown at the last, 10 seconds? Like, that literally saved him.
Literally, fifth round. Yeah.
I mean, that's knockdown. Like, that's the only reason I was like, okay, yeah.
Like, I get that they respect each other, but Woodley needs to understand what his chin is. Like, you're the champ. You got to fucking fight. I don't know. I think Woodley's going to come back. If Woodley fights like a Damian Maia dude, I feel like
he's
either going to do the same thing. He's going to not be afraid. He's going to be afraid of the takedown, and he's going to fucking dance around again, or he's going to just wreck dude because knows Damian Maia doesn't have hands. It's probably going to be one or the other. I don't know.
Yeah.
Where did we, where was I going with that?
Who knows?
Talking about the ground. We were talking about the ground.
We were just seeing, like, if
if a random dude came over and was a wrestler. I respect the ground game. Yeah, I do. Sure. I did MMA for a whole month at Pronios. Me and Aaron Thomas and myself.
Shout out to Pronios and Aaron Thomas. Yeah,
we were told by someone, I don't remember who, they were like, hey, yeah, Pronios got this MMA thing going on right now. Yeah. And if you're under 18, they can't charge you. We were like, oh, let's go. It's on. So we literally went there almost every other day for a month. I mean, we worked our asses off. These dudes were fucking big. And the reason I know I learned some shit is because one of the dudes fought at 205. Mm. Big as fuck. When I first went in there, he was throwing me around, and we would do 3-minute rounds of submissions. He would tap me out 3 times within the – so I would last a minute, tap. He would get me in some crazy shit. The reason I know I learned some shit throughout – it was just a month. But the reason I know I learned so much is because it would either get to the point where it would take him the whole 3 minutes to get me, or it happened a couple times where he didn't get me at all.
Yeah.
So that was really – like, of course I'm not going to get him. I'm fucking – when I was in junior year, it was like 150 pounds, like whatever. Yeah. So, you know, but I think that was awesome that my little growth in that amount of time. So then after that month, we go walking out and they go, hey, have you paid yet? And we go, we thought it was free. Like, get out. So there ended my MMA career pretty soon. That? As soon as it started.
Who was that, Joe Pronio?
Maybe. Just I don't remember.
Shit on your MMA career.
Get it's out. Over. Leave.
So uninvited.
They should have had all the fighters just come kick our asses. Like, that's what we deserved at that point. We were dumbasses. Whatever. It was fun. I do not regret it whatsoever. It was really like a good experience. I mean, I would love to get back into it. If I find a gym, but gyms are fucking expensive. See,
me, Jake, and Chad. Before, I mean, I just got shoulder surgery, so I'm a couple months.
Yeah, away, you're
But me, Jake, and Chad talked about buying some like Muay Thai pads and just like wrestling pads
in Jake's basement. Yeah.
Yeah, they got big ass basements and they're nice. So Chad's got a big ass basement too. So,
hell yeah, I'd be fucking down.
Yeah, we can go down there and beat each other up and then make a fucking podcast.
Yeah. Make another podcast. This is the beat up A&A MMA cast.
Yeah, this is like
the bruised and battered, the B&B MMA cast, bruised and battered.
We're on here like the weather.
I can't even. So tell. This guy, my fucking leg.
Right. Get up.
Trying to move the mouse like. He's got fucking arms and slings and shit. Oh my god.
Yeah, we should just watch it.
There's a market
for
that.
We'll stick to watching it.
Yeah, we'll stick to watching it. Anyways, we're hitting about that the hour mark, so I think we should about wrap it up now. I think that was a pretty good, you know.
Yeah, that was our first run. We've been planning this for a minute, so.
Yeah, I've been talking about it, and it's good to see things come to fruition finally after, you know, whatever.
This was literally just like an idea, like what, like two
what was it like 3 weeks ago? I pitched it to you. I was like, "Hey, if I were to start a podcast, would you be down?" And, fuck yeah! I was like, I didn't expect that reaction. I was so excited. I did not expect. I knew you were the one to hit up for this topic, but I did not expect you to be so down for it. I was like, yes, this is fucking. Man. And of course, we got Lousy Weather Media backing us up over here. Man, appreciate it to all of them.
That's awesome.
I want to shout out the Basement Comedy Show coming up May 13th. I will be opening for. Three comedians doing a little rappity rap thing.
Yeah, you guys don't even know, man.
I'm really excited about it. I'm just ready to fucking do that and then watch some funny ass comedians. We got Bill Squire. We got Mike Calhoun. Who's the other? Who's on the Unbelievables podcast? Check that out on the network. Yeah, Bill Squire is actually the best friends with Alan Cox, and he's on that radio show, the Alan Cox Show. And the other one is Cody Cooper.
Cool.
So it will be cool. Be there or, you know, you're missing out. You're missing out something spectacular.
Yeah, we're both going to be there. And Slim's about to tear the stage up. We're probably going to drink a little Patron after or something wild.
Ew, you drink Patron?
No, I don't.
Dark liquor. No.
I was going to say.
I'm drinking Crown Royal right now.
I was going to say, I drink Jaeger. So,
okay, we can drink Jaeger. We'll be drinking Jaeger. You can come drink Jaeger with us. Something like that.
Yeah, Chad got me hooked on that Jaeger. I don't know what's up with
him. Oh, man. Chad shouldn't drink Jaeger. I feel like that makes him angry.
I'm getting we're working on it.
Work in progress. All right, guys, that was the first run for Andrew, and stick around. We'll be doing every Sunday at 9. We'll be live, and you can hear it on Monday, whenever on the podcast
on
app.
Your iTunes or do you got Android? Do you know if
Android? What's the Android thing, Sean?
All on Google Play.
Yeah, go check out your Google Play.
Podcast app, all that. So
for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. iTunes.
Whatever one you like the most, we'll be there. We'll be there. Mm-hmm. So alrighty, guys. Thank you.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.